Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Agenda, ASBSD's podcast. My name's Heath Larson. Happy to be with you again for this episode and recording of On the Agenda. A few things today. We're deep into legislative session now, and we have a good number of bills that went in the hopper today, and we'll continue to do so here for the next few days. A few bills, and specifically one bill that we want you to pay close attention to is Senate Bill 85. That bill requires an opt-out election for school boards. So instead of the petition process that's currently in place that we have in statute, it bypasses that and requires all school boards to have an election for any opt-out, for a general fund opt-out or a capital outlay opt-out. So we are opposed to this bill at Associated School Boards. I'd encourage your engagement with this, and a LAN alert will be coming out this weekend in regards to Senate Bill 85. It'll be in House Education on Monday morning. Again, we do oppose this bill and appreciate your support in contacting your legislators in regards to Senate Bill 85. Also, Cracker Barrels will be coming up this weekend. We sent out a listing for area Cracker Barrels, so check that listing from ASBSD and get engaged and attend those Cracker Barrels to support public education in South Dakota. And last but not least, I hope you enjoy the upcoming edition with Executive Director from School Administrators of South Dakota, Rob Munson. I visited with him, and I hope you enjoy our podcast On the Agenda. Thanks, everyone, and have a great weekend. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to On the Agenda podcast. I'm ASBSD Executive Director Heath Larson, and with us today and on the agenda is my good friend and close compart over in the Capitol and in education circles and with leadership across the state, School Administrators of South Dakota Executive Director Rob Munson. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
Heath, it is great to be here this morning. I haven't seen you in forever, so it's great to join up on this podcast with you this morning. And I just got to look back and say, boy, oh boy, how did two elementary principals end up leading, the top educational organizations in the state of South Dakota? How'd that happen?
Yeah, it's a blessing. It's been a great opportunity and a great ride, and we're blessed to work in a great state with a lot of great people. So I'm with you. We love to have all the support. So, well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Munson. Anything you'd like to share, and a little bit about your educational journey.
I would love to. Do you want me to go back to day one when I was born, or should we fast forward just a little bit?
Let's not go quite that far back. Let's get it fast forward just a little bit beyond that.
Well, I attended public school, of course, in Parkston, South Dakota. I still live there, actually. I had a lot of things happen in between there and college, but Desert Storm veteran. I was in the South Dakota National Guard. Great experience there. Framed a lot of how I operate, being in the military and things like that. Went off to started at USD, thought I was going to be an accountant. Switched gears, became a business education teacher, graduated from Dakota State University with that degree, and started teaching and coaching at the Marty Inyon School. I then went back and got my master's degree in elementary education, which I did that job for 15 years in Parkston and loved that job. And then also went back and got a specialist in curriculum and instruction. And then superintendent endorsement. And I never did use the superintendent endorsement. I did temporarily at Marty. They had me act as a superintendent for a while there when they had released a superintendent. But stayed an elementary principal for 15 years. I was then elected to serve as the president of the National Association of Elementary School Principals, which was quite an honor. And then coming out of that role, inquired about this position and was picked to lead this organization. I've been doing that now for 14 years, which brings us to today.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for sharing that, Rob, and thank you for your service as a veteran. I know you did a great job with that, and you're a proud veteran. I've heard you speak on that numerous times over here in the Capitol, and really appreciate not only your educational journey and leadership, but your leadership and your work as a veteran. So thank you very much for that. Just talk a little bit about your role, Rob, and what SASD does for school administrators across South Dakota.
Just like you, Heath, when we, especially when we testify over in the Capitol, we can speak to the fact that we truly represent every corner of the state of South Dakota, all 146 school districts. So we do have members in every district, which I'm always very proud of. So when you and I speak, we are truly speaking on behalf of pretty much everywhere in South Dakota. So for those that don't know, we're a parent group association, which means we have six affiliates underneath our umbrella. So we have representation in superintendents, both principal groups, curriculum directors, special ed directors, and then the business officials. And members from each of those organizations make up my executive board, whom I answer to and work for. And so I think we have a really good representative organization of school administrators across the state of South Dakota in all size schools and all communities.
Well, I know certainly in my experience as superintendent for 11 years and as an elementary principal for 8 on small and large schools, I certainly appreciated all the work that SASD did for our administrators in the state. So kudos to you and keep up the great work. Keep up the great work for that. Describe a few ways, Rob, that SASD connects with the administrators from varying parts of the state.
Well, certainly I try to every Friday. There might be a few I miss here and there, but a newsletter goes out to our members, keeping them informed on whether it's PD opportunities that SASD is providing, or right now I switch it from what I call the SASD newsletter basically to the legislative update, because folks are probably far more interested right now in knowing, what's happening here in the Capitol and following legislation and all that. So we do that. We have our four board meetings a year. Where certainly anyone can have input, and our members are well represented on that executive board, and timely emails that go out when they need to go out, especially now when you and I are dealing with things over there that are changing, fluid situations on a daily basis. If things are needed from our membership or we need them to connect with either their community or their representatives or senators, communication goes out. Try to do things online on social media, and keep people updated. So we certainly don't keep any secrets from our members. We love to have them involved and make sure they are in the know of what's happening.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of transition a little bit to leadership and career path a little bit from an administrative perspective. What do you, from a leadership traits perspective, what do you see most often in successful school administrators?
I would say it's people that can kind of, navigate all the expectations and needs of that job. I mean, I think you have to be a great communicator to start with. I think that is so important. Not only being able to speak and talk to issues and people, but probably more important, listening. Listen to what's going on in your community, be aware of what's going on in your community, and being a part of those conversations, and then also inside your school the same way, listening to your folks and speaking when you need to speak.
What are the biggest challenges you see facing our school administrators in South Dakota right now?
I think and you and I have had these discussions, the national rhetoric and pressures that used to maybe stay national are now sort of getting filtered down and pressed into South Dakota. And you and I, as well as our school administrators, are reacting to things that, weren't issues here before, but have become issues. And I think, as a school administrator, you maybe used to worry about, you know what, I got to get some buses out. I've got to make sure people are safe here. I got to make sure our curriculum's up to date and on time. And that was a pretty decent job. Now there are so many different things that you're dealing with and having to worry about that. I truly worry that we're going to see a shortage. Well, we kind of are seeing a shortage already, but I think the shortage is going to get worse of administrators in South Dakota in our schools.
The work certainly isn't getting any easier for anyone, in our schools. And with that, we know there's challenges, right? You talked and mentioned a little bit about some of those challenges, but we also know, and I'm a try to be certainly an optimistic view, and as do you, but what trends are you seeing across districts that maybe give you hope and a strong belief in the future as well for our K-12 public education system in South Dakota.
I think, there's always this belief that, well, schools are failing. And someone in your, we'll call it the Holgar School District, will say, well, we love our school, but by golly, that school down the road, they got troubles. And then you go to that school and they're like, well, we love our school. Our school's doing great, but that school over across the river, creek, whatever it is, they're not doing so well or whatever. I think everyone believes in their schools and their communities. I think if you ever threatened to come in and say, you know what, you guys are failing, we're shutting down your school, I think they'd gather the pitchforks and torches and we'd have lots of trouble. So I just think that people who are in those systems are working hard and they're doing the best they can. And if they could wave a magic wand and have every kid be 100% proficient in reading and math, they would do it in a minute. But there's so many other forces that come into play on a lot of what we as school administrators, educators, school board members are trying to work with and do that it's, sometimes feels like an insurmountable task.
When I talk with our school board members across the state, and certainly my board of directors and folks in leadership amongst our school boards, one of the things that we talk a lot about and has been mentioned is just to your point, if you walk up and down the street of most communities, most folks, parents, stakeholders are going to say, we really like our public school, and they're going to do everything they can to support it. So to your point, I do think that's a great path for us, and people do love their local public schools and show strong support for them across the state. Let's talk and kind of transition a little bit, Rob, to policy, advocacy, and influence a little bit, and talk a little bit about how you and your organization help administrators navigate changing laws and regulations. And you mentioned a little bit about some of your communication, certainly during legislative session. Is there anything you could add to that or anything you'd like to share out further on how you navigate some of those changing laws and regs?
Yeah, sure. Especially, right now, going back to Wade Pogany, when we ran the organizations through Doug Wormbedal, through the present director over there at ASBSD, the one thing I really appreciate is the team that we put together every day at 1 o'clock. We're watching bills that are being dropped into the system over across the road, and we analyze those and, you guys have a tracker online. I have my spreadsheet that I put all the bills on that our members have the link to, and other folks, I guess, as far as they want to go look at them, they sure can. But we're updating those and making people aware of these are the things that are being thrown at us or brought to us across the road. So with having that available, I'm always hopeful that people are engaged and looking at those and having those conversations back home with their people. We used to, and then following legislative session when all the, sausage has been made, we used to do a 1 day kind of legal update in Chamberlain. And that seemed to taper off. And I think some of that was just more information was out there for people that they didn't necessarily need to come to a 1 day thing to find out, how does House Bill 11XXX impact me? So I think that was part of it. So we did back away from doing that legal seminar, we called it. And just try to get the information out to them. And then, just like you, I go around and visit area superintendent, principal, business official meetings, and I'll go through the list of all the things that we have in front of us and what we dealt with. I don't know how much you shared out with your folks, but I'll just say it here. Between you and I, we track a lot of legislation. We could I had heard that there's like 900 draft bills in the system right now. They're not all going to come out and we'll have to deal with them, but I would guess we'll be close to 500 bills at some point. And again, not all those are education, but at the end of the day, I bet we will be tracking somewhere between 75 and 100 pieces of legislation, you and I both. And they don't all directly say this is going to impact education, but when you're talking about property tax things or voter changes or all those things, we have to watch all that stuff because it touches our profession in some way, shape, or form. So just the sheer volume, I think, for education, you and I fighting uphill on roller skates sometimes, it feels insurmountable. But we have good people out there in the field. School board members get engaged, administrators get engaged. We have a lot of help out there, which is wonderful. So that's kind of the process that you and I live and work through during this 37, 38 days here.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a great point. You can't co conquer anything alone. And just the team effort, whether it's here with our team at ASBSD, with your team at SASD, which is you and Kara primarily, but certainly all of our members that we have out there that are advocating as well for us. Time and time again, I've had legislators who have said, Heath, I'll tell you what, when we hear from a local school board member or from a local superintendent on a specific topic or issue that's close to home and close to them, those are the folks that they represent and vote to get our legislators in the Capitol. So there, that has influence with those folks. So to your point, as far as from a team perspective and how everyone rallies together, I think is really critical. And we no one can do it alone. So you got to stick together and advocate and influence together.
But it
What's
seems like
one
I need that.
policy issue you wish the public better understood? If you
I'm going to
could
go back.
identify one.
I just wanted to add one thing on that last talking point. Next week we have our delegate assembly coming to town, which is made up of all of our members. They get a representative group on our delegate assembly, and this was a change that I asked for when I came on into this role. Was to move our delegate assembly actually during legislative session so we could talk about real breathing legislation. So we'll have the bills in front of them that we're dealing with right now and get their input, feedback on those. I have a great legislative chair for that, Becky Guffin. Dr. Becky Guffin does a great job. She's in tune with things that are going on, so she'll lead that. And then the other thing is, and you do this as well, I'm sure, is I can't preach enough how important it is for our members out in the field to be making contact and legislating on their own behalf as well as our association. Because, like you said, they're the ones that elect those folks. That's who they have to answer to, and their voice is far more important. They get tired of hearing from you and me and Diana and Mitch and Sam, and SDA, Sandra and Ryan. They need to hear from their folks back home. So, please repeat that next question.
Absolutely. What's one policy issue that you wish the public better understood? If you could identify one.
Boy, that's a great question. I wish I had a really good answer for it. I think probably there's a lot of confusion around the required law of funding education. Everyone I says, well, it's in statute. They have to fund it. Well, that would be wonderful if that were the case. But as everyone knows, laws can be changed whenever this group is in town. So, even though the law is there to fund education at 3% of the CPI, whichever is less, which is always a fun thing to deal with, they can simply come in and amend and change that law and give us nothing, like was suggested this year. They could even do a percentage cut, which is being looked at across the road, or they could say, we're going to go above it, which they have done in a couple of different years. So, I always tread lightly around that law because it can change one way or the other, and we don't want to get ourselves sort of pigeonholed into, well, they were going to give us 7% this year, but the law only says 3, so what do we do? That's when I think that it's kind of one of those local control versus, we don't want local control issues that it tends to work for you when you want it to work for you.
Sure. In the current legislative session, what are a couple topics, and they're probably similar to ours here at Associated School Boards of South Dakota, but what are a couple topics of most critical importance to SASD?
Always number one on your list, my list, is funding for education. Everything else is noise after that. We're always looking out to get the most money for schools so we can get teacher pay raise up and just manage the expenses of school districts. That's always number one. Next to that is just, watching every piece of legislation to see how it might negatively impact school districts. One example this year is with limited money coming out to schools, opting out and trying to get more money from your taxpayers to keep the doors open or a program that is important to your community is important. And one piece of legislation now would basically force every opt out to an election, even though there's processes in place to refer them, to put them to an election, all those things. This piece would force every opt out to an election, which, in my opinion, is not a good piece of legislation for schools.
Yeah, exactly. It is a bad piece of legislation for schools. We will certainly work to defeat the bill. The bill number it specifically is Senate Bill 85, and we'll talk a little bit about that in our legislative update as well. But we certainly are encouraging our folks to get engaged on Senate Bill 85, encourage a no vote that would require all opt-outs to go to an election and bypass the local school board who could choose to take it to an election if they so chose, or even beyond that, the petition process that's in place that has proven that it works as well for schools and communities. Let's talk a little bit about supporting administrators, Rob. How do you support administrators who maybe you get a contact or communication as far as feeling overwhelmed or burned out? Talk a little bit about that. And it might even lead into some mentoring opportunities, I would guess.
Looking back a few years when we were all in the throes of COVID, one of the things I did at that point in time was reached out to Avera, that Avera Health System, and asked them if they had, a behavioral mental health specialist that we could put in front of our membership and just, give them some tools to work through some of this stuff. And that was very well received. Had a great partnership with Avera on that. They were willing to do those anytime we needed them. Coming out of that, I actually went to and met with the director of the behavioral health over in Sioux Falls and asked about actually putting together an opportunity similar to what we do with legal representation at SASD. As part of your membership, if you get sideways with something and you need to speak to an attorney, we have an attorney on retainer that our members can reach out to. I tried to establish that same thing with like a counselor. Sort of in a way where a member, like when you were at Chester and you just felt, oh my gosh, I'm an island here. There's no one I can really talk to. I'm struggling. Who do I talk to? I was trying to set up someone where you anonymously, Heath, could pick up the phone, call this person, talk through some things, and either level set things or them say, maybe you should set up some sessions on a weekly, monthly basis, or whatever. Never got to that because it became cost prohibitive to do that. But that was just something I was trying to do. Obviously, we have, they have their monthly area meetings where our folks get together and talk through things. And I think that's really a great opportunity for all members to come to those and really lay some things out there and find out that, they're not an island. The exact same things are happening in other districts. They can vent, bet, and just, feel better about what they're doing and probably walk away from that saying, okay, I can go back and tackle this. And yes, you are correct as far as mentoring. That's one of the things we work with, especially superintendents, is trying to get them into a mentoring program. And even if they don't, we try to line them up with someone that can help them, someone that can answer questions for them and just support them anyway. And certainly they can contact me at any time, and I'll find them assistance wherever I can.
One of the things that's been, I think, really valuable in my conversations with leaders across the state has been, and I even think back, to my elementary principal days, your elementary principal days, you have to surround yourself with good people. And I think that's critical in those roles because, like we talked about before, it's you don't know everything about everything, right? And to have, a circle of a network is critical. And to develop that is really important. I was had a great opportunity, blessed in my opportunities to have great people to talk to, circle up with, bounce ideas off of, and did that and received a lot of calls and things over the years too, and certainly now in the role here as the executive at ASBSD, certainly get a lot of phone calls, et cetera, from leaders as well. So I just think it's so important from a message perspective to our administrators, and even board members across the state, right, to develop that circle or a network of folks that you can connect with and talk to and talk through things, because it's you're not going to do anything alone, and it's very valuable to have that communication and network developed.
You know, I think you and I, when especially when we do the joint convention together, you know, that's one of my favorite times of year because people come together and just they socialize, they network, they get some learning nuggets from some of the sessions. But especially to have those school board members and administrators together in one space, you know, it's so valuable and rich. I love those couple of days in Sioux Falls.
Absolutely. Well, talk a little bit about, from an advice perspective, and we're certainly encouraging new administrators to get into the, you know, to look into the field, to get into, you know, maybe it's from the classroom, the traditional, you know, trajectory is you're a classroom teacher, you work within the school at the classroom level, and then potentially you're looking for, or leadership or an administrative opportunity, you know, may arise, and that may interest some folks. What advice do you give to a new administrator, in their first few years?
You know, I think a lot of what we just talked about a few minutes ago is key, and that's reaching out and building that network and surrounding yourself with some veterans and some people who have been in this job a while and can assist you, someone you can lean on. Make sure you've got their cell phone number so it's a 24/7 opportunity to visit with them. You know, get involved in your professional organizations. The younger generations aren't joiners of organizations, which, you know, seems crazy, but they think they can get everything they need off a TikTok or a podcast or whatever, as you and I sit here and do a podcast, right? But they don't feel that human element of getting together in Watertown or Aberdeen or Pierre with eight other people. And that's important to get there and have that face-to-face human interaction, build those networks, find safe spaces. I think all those are so important.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit, and we're going to kind of get to the end here, Rob, but talk about how the role of school administrator is changing. And we did, you mentioned it a little bit before, how, you know, the certainly it does look like schools are such safe, important places for kids. How is the role changing of a school administrator, do you believe?
You know, I think we all have those look backs to, man, this life or this job used to be so great, you know, X number of years ago, whether it was banking, financing, the postal service, whatever. And I think the same is true in administration, especially superintendent level. I always look back to those guys who were superintendents when I first got into being an elementary principal, you know, and it seemed like how much fun they had and how great a job it was. And these are still great jobs. But I think the level of expectation and pressure and stress has changed considerably. They now have to be everything, not only a curriculum leader, an HR person, but they've got to be a data analyst. They've got to be a testing guru. They have to know and be able to do so much, especially if you're in a smaller school and you don't have those ancillary resources and people. You're doing it all. Oh, and by the way, you're driving the bus and you're out on playground duty and, you know, all those things. So I think that is probably what has changed the most and puts pressure on leaders at all levels in the schools.
You know, it makes me think back to from a superintendent perspective, just to your point, as far as what you mentioned, all of those different duties, et cetera, the description of the positions are, you know, very, very vast as far as, you know, knowledge and things you need to know. But then you also throw in mowing grass on the field to driving a bus route because you can't find bus drivers, to working in the concession stand, to all of those kinds of things, announcing ball games. Those are all things that superintendents and leaders now and administrators are having to do within their local schools to make it all work. And
No, and sometimes, Heath, we do it because we want the best for our school and our kiddos and everything and our community. I mean, you want the best experience. So sometimes we insert ourselves into those things too, because if we don't do it, nobody else will. And we want it done right, and we want it done to the, you know, A++. So I think that's just the nature of school people in general. We're gonna do whatever it takes to get the job done.
I was just going to say those three words, whatever it takes, right? And so, whatever it takes to get the job done, to get the work done, and we're there for kids. So, whatever it takes is a good mentality, and I think that's what our administrators in the state do is, have the mentality of whatever it takes to do what's best for kids. Talk a little bit about some skill set adaptations, maybe that you've seen school leaders make over the last several years or in your experiences, and then as you look kind of into the future.
Well, certainly, technology has been huge. I mean, I going back to you and I being elementary principals again, I mean, we had computer labs with a few programs on them that, kids interacted with and teachers learned to use. And now look where we are. And the same with, school people. The technology has changed so much. And again, I mentioned a little bit ago, but having to be able to do all those things of data analysis, test scores, just so many things that they have to be at least in tune with a little bit just to get through the day. Looking into the future, certainly artificial intelligence in lots of areas is going to challenge us as school leaders, going to make us better as school leaders in some cases, and will be a helpful tool. But again, all those things are tools. They need to be learned how to use them, where to use them, and certainly understand the safeguards on all those.
One of the skill sets that I think is important for folks, whether you're in leadership, school board member, school board member leadership, all of those types of things, and it bodes well into our classroom teachers as well, but is adaptability and the ability to take a situation, whatever it may be, and they're getting more and more complex, it seems, as we move through time. But is the ability to be adaptable, to be able to take a scenario or a situation and pivot, not that it has to change entirely, but an ability to adapt to a situation and have situational leadership and adaptability is pretty important. Are you seeing that as, you mentioned technology, you mentioned some of the things with AI. Are those some of the things you're seeing out in the field with our leaders and administrators today?
Absolutely. And I should have added on the end of what I said, Heath, all those are great tools, but the most important thing that we still must have and can't lose sight of is human connection. All those things are great, but if we can't get in the room and have a discussion and be civil, all those other things pale in the work we do. I think all school leaders, whether it's school board members, administrators, teachers, we have to be kind humans. Understanding humans and willing to work through pretty much any problem that comes before us civilly.
Absolutely. One of the things we talk a little bit about too, as we, look into the future and we talk about education leadership, is just the ability. And I think you hit the nail on the head. A lot of times people talk about programs, and programs without question are very important. We've talked about the new Science of Reading initiative that really isn't a new initiative. It's the Big Five. And as elementary principals, we know from, years back, even when I was an elementary principal, we had basically the Science of Reading initiative was in the school where I was principal, and we did have some positive successes without question with that concept, as far as with the Big Five, direct instruction, interventions, etc. And that did move the needle in reading achievement at the school where I was principal. So we're excited about that. We're excited about literacy in this state. Certainly something that the executive branch and our Department of Education has been talking a lot about and pushing from a statewide perspective. You and I can both appreciate that. So as we think about that and moving forward, what excites you most about the future of education in South Dakota? If you were to just pinpoint maybe one thing, what would you say it is?
I would say, Heath, that we can look down the hallway in any K-12 or private school or wherever they're being educated in South Dakota, and we can look into the eyes of our youngest students and see hope. We have to be there for those preschool kindergartners who are starting their education journey and are looking towards their future and helping them get to that future. Whether it's inside our walls, whether it's through technology, wherever it is, we have to help them get to their destination to make life better for them and for the rest of us.
It's a great point. I had an opportunity. It just came to me here. I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago now, but had an opportunity to speak to a group of student teachers at a university. And I was so impressed, and from the student teacher perspective of our incoming or upcoming educators, they were just filled with passion and excitement about education and mostly why we do this for kids. And I remember as I got off that call and off the opportunity to visit with those student teachers, it was kind of invigorating to see how excited they were, the energy that they had about teaching and the potential and the impact they could make for kids in classrooms across South Dakota. And when I think back to that, that was a really exciting opportunity and pretty cool when you think about hope for the future and prospective teachers going out into our classrooms to work with all the kiddos out there. I was pretty pumped up after that, and I still think that bodes true today. It's there's challenges. We know we have teacher shortages, certainly in certain areas. Certain geographic areas have sometimes challenges as well. But challenges in all the schools in certain areas. But certainly an exciting opportunity when I saw that passion and excitement for the student teachers that we have out there that are going to be getting into the field. So, because we know in the trenches, that's where it's happening, is in our classrooms with our teaching staffs. What is the most rewarding part of your work, Rob?
I think, I say it at the close of almost every place I go when I've got a group of administrators together, my board. I will end with, I think I have the best job in education in South Dakota because I get to work with and represent the best of the best. And I never take that lightly. And I never take it lightly when you and I are walking side by side over to that Capitol across the road, knowing the importance of what we are carrying, representing public education over there in that building. And that never falls short on me that we're entrusted with representing our people and doing the best we can for 130,000 public school kids and private school kids, as far as that goes, representing them and trying to do what's best for the future of those kiddos.
Well, the one thing we can promise is that we do the very best we can for education in our state and for the kids of our state. I can promise everybody that, because you're right. When any conversation we've had, we're always talking about, how does this impact kids and how does this impact the students that we serve? And that's of utmost importance to us as we lead and work and do our work in the Capitol and talk with our legislators across the state. All right, it's time to close it up here. So there's just a few. I've got four rapid fire questions for you. You've survived this far. You're just thriving on this podcast. We're going to be
Right.
challenging Pat McAfee. I mean, the Pat McAfee show is going to be getting close. I bet we're getting up to millions and millions of viewers, Mr. Munson. And maybe this is just going to seal the deal for us here. But what is one leadership book every administrator should read?
Before I answer that, I want to just say I'm glad we both agreed to dye our hair gray for this presentation, because a couple of young guys like us, we usually don't look like this. A book that I think had a lot of bearing on me and that others should read is Race for Relevance, where it talks about leaders being able to almost pivot on a dime and taking these big organizations and narrowing them down to small groups that can really get involved in whatever it is and make decisions quick and firm.
How many Diet Cokes do you drink in a day?
I've never had one of those. Tell me more about them. I will tell you, before Christmas, I did stop drinking Diet Coke for about a month. I thought, this is crazy. I shouldn't be drinking this stuff. But I do like Diet Coke. I don't drink coffee. I'm back to it. I probably drink three a day.
Best advice you've ever received.
I wouldn't say I received it from anyone. This was something I put on my wall as a principal when I was an elementary principal. Do what is best for the kids first and do everything else next.
If you could send one message to every school administrator in South Dakota, what would it be?
The work you are doing is extremely important. We need you. Hang in there. You're valued. Your community supports you, and we need you.
All right, very good. Well, Rob, really appreciate your time, your expertise of sharing with our On the Agenda podcast for today. And it won't be long, and we'll be heading back to the Capitol to go continue doing the best we can for the schools and students of South Dakota. So thanks for joining me today on our podcast.
Keith, when does my check show up from all these revenues you get from your advertising on
I'll bring you a Diet Coke.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, thanks everybody. That was Rob Munson, School Administrators of South Dakota Executive Director. And that'll be our On the Agenda podcast for today. Thanks for joining us and have a great day. Thank you.